And I had planned this day. I want to go back to when I would take a risk. You see, so many of us have lost our fire, we've lost our hunger, we've lost our strength because we've decided we're afraid to take a risk. We're afraid to do anything. Just a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went on a cruise, and as we were getting ready for the cruise, I said, "Do you want to do any excursions?" And she goes, "Well, what have they got?" And I was like, "Well, they're shopping trip, and if you know Beth, you know that's not her. She doesn't want to go shopping." And I said, we could go swim with the dolphins. And she goes, "No, I don't want to mess with swimming." And we could do this and we could do that. And we couldn't find anything we wanted to do. And then we were watching TV one day and there was a commercial with somebody parasailing behind a car. Some of you may have seen that commercial. And Beth says, "I want to do that." I said, "Well, we could probably do that on the cruise." And I checked it out, and yeah, we could go parasailing. And just a few weeks ago, my wife in a wheelchair goes in. I push her in to the excursion room, and the guy comes in. It's like, well, actually, the guy wasn't fine. It was the other people. They come in like, "Is this parasailing?" And Beth would go, "Yep, sitting in that wheelchair. Yep." And they look there like, "You're going parasailing?" She goes, "Yep." We get to the boat. The one of the helpers had to piggyback her across the boat to get in because she couldn't walk across the boat. I couldn't walk across the boat. I asked him for my piggyback. He said he wouldn't do it. We got in that boat, went out. They strapped us into that parachute first. Took us about 500 or 600 feet up above Nassau, Bahamas. And I'm holding on. I'm behind Beth, and I've got my arms wrapped around the things, and I'm hooked in going, "This is wonderful. This is great. It's beautiful." And Beth is in front of me going, "Let go. This is great." I'm going, "Hang on, Beth. Don't touch it. Hang on." Beth is the reason I took a risk. Man, I love the fact that I went parasailing. It was fun. I wasn't quite as free as Beth was, but it was fun. We enjoyed it because we wasn't afraid to take a risk. You know, I can tell those stories, but the same thing happens spiritually. We read stories in the Bible, and we read situations in the Bible, and we think, "I want that. I want God's power. I want God to move that way through me." But yet, we forget that to get there, we have to be willing to take a risk. I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17 through 24. Those of you that are visiting with us, we get excited when we open the Bible. Now, I'm going to explain the background picture in just a few minutes. But I want us to read these verses 17 through 24 real quick. "When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, 'So it is really you, the troublemaker of Israel.' 'I have made no trouble for Israel,' Elijah replied. 'You and your family are troublemakers, for you refuse to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the image of Baal instead. Now summon all of Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 priests of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who supported Jezebel.' So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel, and then Elijah stood in front of them and said, 'How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him.' But the people were completely silent. Then Elijah said to them, 'I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood of their altar.
but without setting fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood of the altar, but not set fire to it. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who always answers by setting fire to the God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God, and the people agreed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would reach down right now and send your power, send your anointing, and send your peace. Lord, let your strength and your power flow in our hearts and flow in our lives. Lord, I believe you for your strength, and I believe you for your power. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Now, I've got a couple special pictures this morning for my sermon. This is me enjoying a nice ride. Some people call these things death traps. I say you haven't been on one. They give me life. And this past Tuesday, Mom and Dad was traveling with me, and I told Mom, I said, I never get a picture of me riding on the bike. I said, get a picture. And so she did this little picture, and so you'll be seeing this throughout the day as I'm taking the risk on I-55. The risk was my dad was driving in the car next to me. But hope you enjoy that, Dad. He usually listens to the podcast. But I want to spend a few minutes today, and I'm going to try to keep this brief. But I want to spend a few minutes today I want to go back to the time that I wasn't afraid to take a risk. Most of us can remember a time where we would reach out there and we would try something. But now, I don't know. We remember the time that if an altar call came, we would run to the altar. Now we look around to see who's going to see us go to the altar. We remember the time that if they started singing a song we liked, we weren't afraid to lift our hands. Now we look around to make sure somebody else is too. We have to come back to a place in our life. If we're going to be powerful men and women of God, we have to be willing to take a risk. Now the first thing I see as I look at this story is that risk takers are not troublemakers. Risk takers are not troublemakers. Now, before I get into that, let me explain this picture. That long-haired kid is me. At about 12 or 13 years old, riding a wheelie through in front of one of my friend's house. And so that's one of my favorite pictures. It looks like I was that's back when I was skinny. I've got words over all of them. You can't really tell, but I really was skinny back then. I've lived about four lives since then, but risk takers are not troublemakers. Now, when I started reading here, Ahab had come back to Elijah, and he said, oh, it's really you, the troublemaker of Israel. Now, I got news for you. A lot of people will look at you when you take a risk and think you're a troublemaker. I walk into Walmart wearing my leathers and my leather vest and my patch. And if they don't read the patch, they go, ooh. I walk into the church, and I ain't dressed like a pastor. People look at me and go, ooh. I had to go to Walmart this morning for church. And I thought, yeah, anybody that knows I'm a pastor, they're going to be like, oh, Pastor Tommy's skipping church today. Oh, I'm going. You see, we get this image. Motorcycles is a great analogy because we get an image. Motorcycle riders have an image of being troublemakers and being rough and tough. And, you know, we're not all like Tyrone. I mean, you know, we get this. Everybody has this idea about us. I'm going to tell you, those ideas get shattered when you get to know people. Now, I've been riding bikes now, not as long as a lot of these guys, but I've been riding bikes for about 14 years, 15 years. And I've had a chance to ride with all kinds of groups of riders. And I'm going to tell you, I have found in many cases that they're some of the most giving and caring people I've ever known. Now, Pastor, we're not talking about bikers. No, we're talking about Christians. Problem is, I can't always say that same thing about Christians. Because sometimes we're not caring and heartfelt. But yet, when we start to step out of the box, when we start to push beyond the norm, when we start to say, you know what, I don't care. I am doing what I need to do. I love Sister Wanda. Sister Wanda, you can be worshiping. And I'm going to pick on you nice today. I'm not even going to talk about you being sandpaper today. But we can be worshiping. And if Sister Wanda says, I need something, she don't care what part of service it is. She'll get out of that seat. She'll walk up here, get her a Kleenex, and sit down or kneel down at that altar and just cry. Why? Because she's decided, I'm going to take the risk. Everybody may look at me, but I don't care. I'm going to get what God has. We get the opinion sometimes when we see people step out of norm. When we see people that, Pastor Anna, she just needs to sing. She starts preaching. It's not normal. You know what? She's willing to take a risk to let God speak His life through her. Risk takers are not troublemakers. When Ahab saw him, he said, oh, you're a troublemaker. He said, I'm not the troublemaker. You are. Risk takers often push us hard. I skipped one, didn't I? I did. Let me back up. Risk takers challenge us to action. If we had no risk takers, we would have nothing ever get done in the church. Risk takers challenge us to action. Elijah said, look, call all of Israel together and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah and bring them all to me. And he got up in front of them and says, how long are you going to waver between two opinions? You can't live on the fence post, folks. Make a decision. Either follow Baal or follow God, but don't try to do both. And he began to challenge Israel to action. He said, it's time that we quit waiting and doing this. And church, let me just stand here. When are we going to grow up in the church? When are we going to make a decision? Either we're going to follow God or we're going to fulfill. Always have been, always will be. We need some risk takers that will stand up and say, listen, we can't keep standing in the middle. We got to make some decisions. We need some action. We need somebody that will. I got news for you. Elijah, when he walked in, he stood up to those Israelites. He said, I'm here to tell you, you have to make a choice. I've had enough of church that doesn't offend. I won't offend you with anything I say today. You're at the wrong church, honey. Because sometimes the gospel's offensive. Because it offends you when you're doing wrong and God points out that you're doing wrong. It don't make you feel good. I'm going to tell you, conviction isn't a snuggly feeling. Oh, now we got to be gentle. And I believe in being gentle and loving. Everything has to be done in love. But sometimes we got to stand up and say black is black and white is white. Amen. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Yeah, right. We can't live in the gray. We can't live in the middle. That's what the church is trying to do. We're trying to be accepted by society and yet trying to say that we serve God, but we have no fire, we have no passion, we have no love for God because we don't live by of God. And we need some risk takers that'll stand up and say, listen, you need to make a decision. Not only did he challenge, does risk takers challenge us to action, but risk takers often push us hard. Sometimes a risk taker will push you. You got to do this. Elijah told the prophets of Baal and Asherah, you take a bull, and you put it on the altar, and you pray to your God, and let's see what happens. And he says, you can go first. And the Bible says they put their sacrifice on the altar, and they began to pray, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. The Bible says they began to cut themselves so that they could cry louder. They would inflict pain so that they could cry out louder to their God. But still no answer came. The Bible says at noontime, Elijah, being a gracious, loving, merciful man of God, says, you might want to get louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he might have needed to go see a man about a dog. He'll be back in a minute. He may be relieving himself. Wait for him. And all of a sudden, what's Elijah doing? He's pushing him. He's not just pushing the prophets of Baal and Asherah. He's pushing the nation of Israel. He's saying, you need to understand how ridiculous this is. You need to see this. Some people are going, well, Elijah's just being rude. He's so rude. He's such a rude person. You know what? We need some men and women that will get up and be risk takers and point out the weakness of the enemy. I've got news for you. How long are we going to sit and wait for the latest TV movie star or music star to make our life happy? What's wrong? Killed himself. Come on now. Robin Williams, one of the funniest men I've known in my lifetime. Man known for making people laugh. If you're waiting on him to give you joy, he couldn't give joy to himself. Let me tell you something. We have fallen into the trap of thinking that media and society, oh, well, Pastor, I don't need that. I got my phone. Let me tell you something. Sermon's coming up about the phone, by the way. I'm just going to let you on, give you a warning. I am a tech person. I love my phone. But I've gotten to the place my phone drives me crazy. And what's worse than my phone is everybody else's phone. I can't hardly remember last time I had a conversation with people. Somebody wasn't grabbing a phone. Last time I had a meal, and nobody picked up a phone while we were eating. We think that phone, oh, I can Google any answer I need. I'm going to tell you, Google ain't got the answer for what you need. Right. Oh, my Facebook friends will take care of me. Your Facebook friends won't come to anything you do. Come on. I got news for you, folks. We need some risk takers that will stand up and start to push us. Elijah pushed them. And he didn't just say, now come on now. Try a little harder. No, he mocked them. He pushed them hard. He pushed their buttons is what he did. He's like, look, you need to understand the foolishness of what you're doing. A risk taker will push themselves hard. Elijah knew that God was able. So when it finally came his turn and no fire had come, he says, listen, let's build the altar. Let's cut up the sacrifice and put it on the altar. And go get me 12, no, first, dig a ditch around the altar. Then go get me 12 barrels of water. When he got the 12 barrels of water, he poured it over the sacrifice. It was soaked. The trench around the sacrifice was full of water. He says, now I can show God's power. See, he said, it's not enough that I just do what they did. If I'm a risk taker, I got to push myself harder. I got to have faith. I got to have faith for more than fire. I got to have faith for fire that's stronger than the one thing that beats fire, which is water. And Elijah prays a little 63-word prayer. Water covering the sacrifice. And Elijah begins to pray. And I love his prayer. Let me find it here. I want to read it because I want to get it right. Here's his prayer. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all of this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself. He didn't beg and plead. He said, God, prove yourself. Bring them back. I want to go back. Bring them back to you. His prayer was a prayer of confidence. It was a prayer of power. It was a prayer of strength. And all of a sudden, we find that risk takers are confident in their results. When a risk taker steps up, Elijah was confident that God was going to take care of it. Church, I've come by here today to tell you, we need some risk takers. We need some people. I love Sister Connie's testimony. She didn't know what I was preaching. And I sat there and listened to her talk. And she said, I didn't know if I could do it. I didn't know if it'd work. But you know what? God gave her her shop. And there's people in this church that wasn't going to church when they started working at that shop. But now she teaches a Sunday school class. And now she's got her family with her. Why? Because somebody took a chance, took a risk. There's people that didn't know the power of God. Thought things were just going around. And they started working in her shop. And life fell apart. But they didn't know that God was about to turn her upside down. When life fell apart and took her family away, God gave her another one. And now, she worships God. And I hear tell that in a few months, she's doing it just for us, for the ladies here at our church. Why? Because somebody took a risk. Somebody said, this is what God wants me to do. I don't know if it'll work. It doesn't make sense. But I'm going to do it. 30 years ago, 17-year-old kid said, God told me to preach, but I don't know that I can do that. But I took a risk. And now, 30 years later, I've got 30 years of preaching ministry. I'm known most as pastor, more than I'm known as anything else. I could go around this room person after person after person. I can see a couple struggle sometimes. I think both of them like to fight a little bit. I know she does. But God lays in their heart that they need to help other kids. And now they've got 3, 4 other kids besides your family? Down to 2. They've got pain. They're still taking risk. God's blessing. See another couple. They got life by the tail. Business owners. Got a beautiful family. Their kids start to grow up. Man, my youngest and their youngest are the same age. And I'm like, one more year and they're gone. Yes. I'm doing dances every time I realize that Michael leaves in a year. But this couple, like that couple, says there are kids out there that are hurting. And now they've taken in foster kids and foster kids, and their family of 4 is now a family of 10. And then they're going to add into that one more from foreign exchange. Not just that. Somebody says, I'm going to China. And Becky says, so am I. And Jeff says, how? And they say, I don't know. We'll just take the risk. Now Becky's getting ready to go on her 3rd trip to China to teach kids not just English, but the gospel. You see, I could walk around this room over and over and over. But Helen and Howard, wow. Talk about some risk takers. Talk about Wanda. Wanda takes the risk of speaking the truth whenever she wants to. Sometimes I think it's more risky for me than it is for her, but I go around this room, and many of us know how to be the risk taker. But as I close this service, this is a question I wanted to ask you. Will you take a risk for God? Because see, when you make some stands, I look at my son. He just got a new job at McDonald's. But he went in and he told them, I don't work Wednesdays and Sundays. Period. He got a schedule the other day and it had him mistakenly marked on a Sunday. And he went in and says, I don't work Sundays. Oh, we know. They changed it. They're looking at him for promotion. Told me the other day, I said, that might be a little hard with your schedule. He says, they know my schedule. And if they want me to do that job, they'll work with my schedule. See, he's taking a risk. He said, I've got a standard and I won't break it. Tell you something, church, we need some people to stand up and take a risk for God. For some of you, it means you change your life. Some of you, it means you change your friends. Some of you, it means you change your surroundings. And people are going to look at you and say, what's wrong with you? You don't have to say it to them, but you got to say it to yourself, I'm just taking a risk for Jesus. Because when we can go back to the place that jumping that bike over the stream was just what we did. If we can go back to that place where getting to that altar and giving everything up is just what we did. If we can get back to that place that if God said do it, we just did it. See, I want to know what kind of faith. I want to know what kind. Many of you, I shared this a couple years ago, but a couple years ago I began transcribing the Bible, just copying it down, writing it. And I've only made it through Genesis. Man, that's hard work. But I go through Noah, the story of Noah and the story of Abraham, and I saw such a stark difference. I want a Noah faith. Abraham would argue with God. Now, God, you really don't want to destroy that city. He talked God down. Noah, there are, until after the flood, I find no recorded words listed as being Noah's words. God said, Noah did. Don't see any record of anything that Noah ever said back. Man, that's a risk taker. He just did it. I want to go back to that place. Then I just do it. I take the risk and I do it. How do we do that, Pastor? I can't tell you. It goes back to what Mama used to say. Don't try, do it. When God tells you something to do, do it. Don't ask, do it. When you know that something isn't right, don't do it. When you don't know how people are going to react, don't worry about it and take the risk. If we'll become risk takers, we'll worship better. If you'll take risk, I'll preach better. It's the way it works. My preaching isn't determined by me, it's determined by you. If you'll start taking risks for God, I'll start preaching better. Because you'll start going, oh, instead of, pastor's mean. Our lives will be better. We'll have peace and hope and victory if we'll just take some risk. If we'll step out and say, I want to do more. I want to be 100% sold out for God. I want to be there when He calls. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to You right now.